Morning, and welcome to the presentation of results of Fluidra for the first half year of 2016. My name is Cristina Del Castillo, and I'm the Director of Investment Relations and Shareholder Relationships with Fluidra. The presentation will be made by Mr. Eloy Planes, CEO, and Chevitin Thore, CFO. The documentation is available in our webpage under the late results. It has also been sent this morning to the Stock Exchange Authority, so you can find it in that institution's webpage as well. The recording of this multi-conference will be available on the next working day in the company's webpage under the chapter Shareholders and Investors. So we start the presentation. I give the floor to Mr. Lloyd Planes. Thank you, Christina. Morning and welcome to the presentation of results of the first half year 2016. We started the year with an excellent pace and we've continued with this positive dynamics during the second quarter. The figures which we shall analyze in this presentation show an increase of sales of 13% for all of the first half year this year. These figures include the acquisition of Waterlinks, which, as you will remember, was acquired in August 2015. If we adjust this inclusion, the organic growth for the period is of 9%. The currency dynamics have affected negatively in approximately 2 points, so the growth rate, if there had been a constant perimeter and a constant currency, would have been 11%. This organic growth is very solid and consistent, and it is based on a very positive dynamics for Europe, with double-digit growth rates and also the Australian growth rate. The rest of the markets in general, they keep a good evolution, except for China and some other market that has little specific weight. So now let's analyze the figures on page number 3. I'd like to highlight that sales reached 397.2 million euro, which implies a growth rate of 13%. EBITDA grows by 15%, reaching 58.4 million euro. Thanks to this increase in activity, to the operational leverage, and the contribution made by Waterlinks. In spite of the impact of the setup of the new facilities in Australia and South Africa. On the other hand, net profit reaches 24.5 million euro, about 50% more than the previous year. Pushed forward by the increase in sales, the company's operational improvement and improvement in financial results. The parameters of the balance sheet and the cash generation show a normal evolution in a full campaign period, and they also express a better use of working capital, showing needs that cash needs that are 10 million euro below the last year, and they accept a strong growth for the period. These results show that we are making headway in a constant and solid way in the execution of our strategic plan 2018, which we showed you last year. On pages number 4 and 5, I would like to present the investment we communicated last week, which gives support to our interest in growing in the north and the center of Europe, which had been foreseen in our plan. Last 21st of July, Fluidra acquired 70% of the equity of SIBO, a Dutch company, a leading company in the field of pools and water facilities, water gardens and natural pools and biopools, with a strong presence in terms of distribution in Benelux and Germany. SIBO closed 2015 with sales of about 17 million euros and it generated an EBITDA close to 2 million euros. With this acquisition, we're convinced that we will have a greater access to the different markets in the north of Europe, especially the Benelux. A potential market with 50 million euros annually, with more than 230,000 residential pools installed and a stock of commercial pools of about 5,000 pools. SIBO's contribution this year will be of about 7 million euro in terms of sales, and it will be practically neutral in terms of EBITDA due to the seasonality of this company, which carries out most of its, it actually gets most of its results in the first half year. SIBO, as I was mentioning, is an international leader in biopools, the biological pools or so-called natural pools. A proposal that's becoming very much trendy in the north of Europe. With about 100,000 biopools installed for Europe, it is a clear market trend that's expanding in other countries where Fluidra operates, although this type of pools accounts for a bit less than 2% of the total stock of pools in Europe. It has great supporters supported exponentially as an alternative that's clearly respectful with the natural environment. Our goal with this acquisition is to gain penetration in Benelux and to reinforce our position in Germany with products with regards to the traditional pool products that we manufacture, and also to include new product categories for natural pools to the distribution network that our companies have throughout the north of Europe, thus widening our portfolio in this new activity. Now I'm going to give the floor to our CFO, Xavier Tintero, who will explain in greater detail the results of the first half year. Thank you very much indeed, Aloy. Next, I'm going to give you a detailed explanation of the results obtained during the first half year. I'd like to highlight that, well aligned with the efforts to improve the group's governance and transparency, the results published this half year include a limited review carried out by the audit company EY, which used to be called Ernst & Young. On page 6, let's analyze the evolution of the main lines in the P&L account. The sales figure grows by 12.8%, and if we adjust that for currency, it would be an excellent 15.1%, out of which a bit more than 11 points is due to organic growth, and about 4 points is growth associated to the acquisition of Waterlinks. The gross margin is well aligned with the previous year, and it shows a recovery during the second quarter. Excluding the change of perimeter associated to the acquisition of Waterlinks, which operates with gross margins that are below the group's, the margin improves by 30 basis points. Operational expenses before provisions and amortizations reach 143.6 million, of which 5 million are non-organic, so that organically, OPEX grows by 8.8%. This increase is due to two main factors. On the one hand, an early and strong start of the campaign, which has required placing certain operations at a high productive pace before what's usual, and the costs associated to the setup of new facilities in Australia, South Africa, and trades for the south of Europe. We'd like to highlight the case of Australia. This quarter, our subsidiary has operated in a significant way above its production capacity because it has had to service a new great customer from the USA market before having carried out the transfer to the new production plant. This impact is of about 2 million euro in between margin and OPEX, and it is not recurrent. Given that the new plant will service at the beginning of September, this effect will still have a certain incremental impact during the third quarter. Now, for the fourth quarter, which is when the campaign starts in the southern hemisphere, the subsidiary will start enjoying the new effects of the effect of the new plant and warehouse with its positive impacts. Provisions for bad debt reach 2.6 million euro, a figure that represents 0.6% of sales, with an improvement of 20 basis points compared to the last year. The greater volume and the operational gearing or leveraging explain that improvement in EBITDA, which goes from 51 to 58.4 million euro, which implies an increase of 14.5%. The EBITDA, I'd like to highlight two factors. First, the financial result and the tax rate. Financial expenses are 6.6 million euros below 2015. Remember that during the first quarter last year, we made a write-off of commissions with an extraordinary charge of 4.8 million as a result of the signature of the new financial contract. The tax rate is of 30.6% due to the effect of the country mix. For all of these reasons, the net result rose by an excellent 48.7%, reaching 24.5 million euro. On page number 7, you can observe the sales evolution by geographic area. sector has been an excellent performance in Europe in general. Spain continues with a good trend that it already showed in the previous year, and it closes the quarter with a growth rate of 10%, which comes both from the professional installer market and also the large distribution channel. This half year's star is the south of Europe, with a growth rate of 19%, supported by double-digit increases in France and Italy, and a weaker behavior or performance in Portugal. The launch of above-ground pools made out of wood as a result of the purchase of the EGT Sunbay have contributed about 5.5 base points to this growth. Excluding this factor, the area has grown by 13%, much above the market growth, gaining market share in the markets mentioned beforehand. A good performance in the center and the west of Europe, with sales increases above 13% in constant currency. A special mention I'd like to make of the evolution in Germany and Austria. The UK is affected by the devaluation of the pound sterling as a result of Brexit, although it grows in terms of constant currency. The east of Europe grows by 12% in constant currency, thanks to the good performance of the Czech Republic and Russia. On the other hand, the evolution of Asia and Australia showed different situations. On the one hand, China shows a reduction in its level of activity due to the weakening of the economy in the area. On the other hand, Australia keeps on having a good performance, gaining market share, and with good growth rates in the local market. Finally, the rest of the world shows an excellent evolution, which has been promoted by the inclusion of water links in the perimeter and a good performance in North America. On page number 8, we show the evolution of the different groups, business units. A good evolution of pool and wellness in general, with very good growth rates in all product categories in terms of residential pool, with a special emphasis on the growth of above ground pools, thanks to the inclusion of wooden pools and automatic pool cleaners. The commercial pools show a small drop associated to the impact of the installations carried out in the Americas in the first half year of 2015. The growth rates in this business unit are influenced by the ending of the relevant installations, and they may change from quarter to quarter. Water treatment shows a very good growth, supported by the performance of water links in South Africa and a good campaign in the Northern Hemisphere, both in terms of chemical consumables, and disinfection equipment. Finally, irrigation and domestic water treatment are being supported by the evolution of the business in the south of Europe. On page number 9, we show the evolution of the group's working capital. The net working capital reaches 233 million euro at the end of the semester. In the chapter related to accounts payable, we have accounted for the Aquas earnout because we find ourselves in the window of that option's execution. Therefore, in order to have a figure that's comparable to 2015, we have adjusted it. The net working capital, once adjusted, it reaches 249.5 million euro with a growth rate of 2.2%, significantly below the sales growth, thanks to the continuous focus on the management of the group's working capital. The next page shows the evolution of the net financial debt and the free cash flow. The first half year is always a period of investment, and because we have not yet finished the spring and summer campaign in the Northern Hemisphere. Before acquisitions, the company has improved by 10 million euros its free cash flow, a figure which is 21.7% better than the previous year, thanks to a better generation through the P&L account, basically. The organic capex increase is due to the investments to adjust the warehouses that are being rented out in Australia and South Africa, and also for the extension and widening of the distribution center in the south of Europe, as we explained during the last conference. Finally, the acquisitions chapter reflects cash used for a payment to the old owners of Waterlinks related to the results of 2015 and the purchase by minority shareholders of other group subsidiaries. The net financial debt is of 212.4 million euros, about 13 million euros above the previous year, because we are consolidating Worlings this year and not yet in 2015. This figure is well aligned with our forecast. And without any further ado, I'm giving back the floor to Mr. Hello Planet, our CEO, for him to conclude this presentation of results. Thank you, Xavier. In 2016, we are making headway in a very solid way, as we have finished an excellent first half of the year. Our main markets show a sustained and significant increase. Sales have grown by double digits in Europe, and they show a good evolution in the rest of our geographies. This growth is transferred, it's translated into better operational results. The results June this year have evolved extraordinarily well, both organically and inorganically. We have acquired Sibo, a Dutch company leader in natural pools with a strong distribution presence in Benelux and Germany. Sibo contributes market share in these markets, and they open up the doors to the concept of BioPool, which is becoming so fashionable nowadays. We are still focused on the implementation of our strategy, which, as you know, is based on focusing on pools and wellness to keep on penetrating with all of our product categories in all of the countries in which we are already present in order to increase our market share and our leadership by implementing the best practices to keep on increasing, in this way, our efficiency and profitability ratios. The good sale dynamics and the deleveraging dynamics in Europe, and also the setup of the new facilities in Australia, foreseen for September before the start of the campaign in Australia, make us state that we will actually achieve the guidance that we presented in February with all due security. Thus, we repeat and we reinforce what we have already mentioned. We talked about sales of between €675 and €690 million. We will increase our profitability, placing our EBITDA between €81 and €85 million, and we will keep our net financial debt levels below 2.2 times EBITDA. In spite of it all, after seeing the dynamics of sales in July and August, we may review in the next quarter these forecasts and we may increase them. Therefore, we are still making headway with great dynamism in 2016, supported by an excellent start of the year. We will continue following this track to consolidate both our sales and profitability growth rates. The only thing I have left to do is to thank you for participating in this multi-conference, and we'll be delighted to answer any questions you may have. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you, and we will now start the Q&A. Please go ahead. Hello, good morning. I have a number of questions for you. First of all, in spite of the fact that the figures that you have shown us are very good, I believe that the operational leveraging is not as strong as it looks like. You have talked about extraordinary expenses in Australia and in other regions. 2 million in Australia. Could you quantify the expenses in other regions and whether there has been an OPEX increase, a larger OPEX increase, or to eliminate that effect in the EBITDA to know what has been the EBITDA growth without these recurrent expenses? And secondly, after seeing the evolution of the working capital, could you tell us what you're expecting for the year's end? Are you expecting an improvement in the working capital in your forecasts? And thirdly, the new acquisition, Sibo. Basically, you have a very strong plan for 2018, and this is subject to getting EBITDA and getting close to 3.5% in that division. What is your incentive to reach that 3.5%? If you do not reach that 3.5%, you will not be paying the earn-out. I mean, tell me a bit, what's your incentive for for to have that 3.5% in 2018 and not in 2019 or 2020. And finally, I imagine that we are all amazed by the last comment made with regards to the guidance. I don't know what you're saying. I mean, thinking about that increase you may have announced. Thank you. Hi, Paco. Good morning, and thank you for those questions. And thank you for your comments about the results. With regards to the first question, it is true that we mentioned that the expenses, the non-recurrent expenses associated to the setup or the start or the use above capacity of Australia, we have pointed out that it's approximately 2 million euro. The start of the facilities in South Africa and even the facilities of Trace, they all reflect other additional expenses that in general just they are one-off expenses and they could be one additional million euro. If you exclude those factors, you will see that the leveraging factor improves significantly with a growth rate of about 20%. So you can make those calculations directly yourself. Now, the second question. You know that one of the targets, one of the goals we had in our strategic plan is to improve our net working capital management so that the growth rate that the company follows, I mean strong growth rates, so that they do not consume as much cash and they allow us to generate more return by improving the ROCEs. We saw it in the closing of the previous year and we're seeing it in the closing of this first half year and we hope to see it too at the end of this financial year. You know as well that we do not give specific guidances with regards to the working capital, but you'll see it reflected in the cash generation and in the debt ratio at the end of the year, which as Eloy has said, I'm sure it will be placed below this target we had of 2.2 times. I have not really understood your third question about acquisitions. I'm going to try and answer, though. Basically, what we have done, we have made a first payment of about 5.7 million euro, which basically account for 50%. We have bought 70%, but we have left 20% of that payment. We have postponed 20% of that payment. First installment of 5.7 is a multiple of about 5.2 times. We would have left a second installment, a second payment that will be made at sometimes the multiple of 2017, which we calculate will be of about 3 million, 3.5 million approximately. And with that, if you make the calculations, you will have a multiple of about 5.7 times approximately. And this is to make sure that the management of the new company is well aligned with the generation of synergies and the integration of the company in the group, as we have done in other previous acquisitions. I do not know whether I have answered fully your questions. And if not, well, just reword your question, please, to see if I can understand it a bit better. And with regards to the guidance that you have just mentioned, well, as you know, July and August are very relevant months for us. So we are waiting for these 2 years to elapse to make a review. I mean, if we go over the figures, I mean, we see that with the acquisition of Cyber, our sales figure will be above what we had forecasted, but we prefer to close these two relevant months, to close the quarter and to make a good revision of all of the guidance, and we expect it will be higher. Thank you very much indeed. Next question, please. Alvaro Aristegui from Auro Corporación. Go ahead, please. Hello, good morning. I wanted to know, if I've understood you well, you have said that in July, the company has continued as well as it has started. I'd like to know the improvement during the second quarter. Which have been the components for that improvement? And Woodlings, how did it perform with the fall of oil prices, chemical products, etc.? And now that that has happened, I'd like to know why was that? Was it because of the products? I mean, tell me more details about that. And then the contribution made by cyber, 7 million in terms of sales. Well, but it's seasonal. The 7 million sales, they contribute zero in terms of EBITDA, and the other 6 million of sales actually contribute 2 million in terms of EBITDA. I clearly not understood it well. Could you clarify that for me, please?
Hi, Alvaro, and thank you for your questions.
Okay, let me see. July is going very well. The trends we see are good and positive. It has two working days less, and that has a little impact, but that will be recovered in the next months. So for the whole quarter, there should be no impact. So in principle, things are continuing well. Now, this July and August are more recurrent in terms of pool maintenance, and it's less business related to the construction business. But the trends we see in principle are good. With regards to the improvement in the margin, basically, here there are two components. It is true that this quarter we have started seeing that the oil price increase or oil price improvement has been transferred to our costs. We have a process of maturity. We are fully integrated, and we buy some commodities, and we have a maturity process that's relatively long. As a result, the trends of commodity price improvements to costs is not as quick as you could expect or as quick as you could imagine. This has been one factor. Now, the second factor is related to the management of sale prices. One of the best practices that we mentioned within the group's strategic plan, and the sale price management in our subsidiaries, especially in the south of Europe, that we have started a campaign. So this is also giving good results. So the combination of these two factors has made the fact that during the second quarter, we have had this performance that's above the previous years, and that's why if we compare it to the results of 2015, we're better. Excluding the Woodlings consolidation factor, we're 30 basis points above. And with regards to cyber makes 17 million euros in sales, out of which 7 are made during the period we will consolidate as of July. So there is a part of it that's more relevant in terms of sales during that first half. And in principle, we have said that the result will be approximately equal to zero. I mean, it's not going to be material, the inclusion of the EBITDA because of the consolidation of cyber.
Thank you very much indeed. Next question, please.
Javier Campos from Kepler Cheuvreux. Go ahead, please.
Hello. Good morning to everybody. Well, I have three questions. The first one is, I don't know whether we can expect that the earn-out of Aqua be made this year. My question is related to this earn-out. The amount has been reduced by 500,000. Is this due to a currency issue, or is it because Aqua's EBITDA is being a bit below what was expected? And the third question, insisting once again on costs, on the non-recurrent costs you have had during this second quarter. Xavier, beforehand, you mentioned that there were 2 million in Australia and 1 million in South Africa. So can we speculate that the adjusted EBITDA would have been 61.4 million if we take out these costs? Thank you very much indeed.
Hi,
Javier. Thank you for your questions. Let's see. Aqua's earn-out, in principle, although we are in a full execution window, we do not believe it's going to be executed this year. Right now, the execution right is on the other party's hands, i.e., the selling party. But given the conversation we have had with them, we believe that this would be materialized starting next year. And the value variation is only related to the currency evolution because the earn-out is quoted in dollars. Now, with regards to your third question, your calculations are right. You're talking of about $3 million that you would need to add to the EBITDA. Thank you very much indeed. Next question, please. Conference call is over. We thank you all for your participation and have a very good day. Thank you.